Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lab. With what began as a one-shot lead for Scottie Scheffler at the halfway point of this 153rd Open Championship has now blown into a four-shot lead, Rex, here at Royal Portrush. The conditions were favorable. Beautiful day. A fine day, you might say, according to the official forecast. Scottie Scheffler, yes, certainly was. They had low confidence in detail, but I can tell you, it was a very nice day. Scottie Scheffler turned that into a bogey-free 67. This thing, Rex, feels like it's over.
Is it over
in your opinion?
No, I don't feel like it's over because it is still links golf. He's still Scottie Scheffler is doing so many things. Well, you look at his iron play, it's just sublime. I mean, I don't know how many times we can say it. I don't know how many stats we can throw out there, how many strokes he's picking up on the field with his irons. We knew coming in when we broke down the golf course on Wednesday, approach play was going to be crucial. Shane Lowry, when he won here in 2019, he was first in the field in greens and regulation. And then you add in the idea of how well he's putting. He's top 10 right now in strokes game putting. I just think you put those two things together and it makes it difficult to catch him. I say that with the caveat and the big fat asterisk that I have to put on here.
Asterisk.
No. We can do this all night long.
Rivalry.
I struggle with some words. Some words are difficult. You put a check mark next to this one because it's his driving, and he has gotten away with some wayward drives. I said it last night. Randall Chamblee did an interesting job of breaking this down on live from last night. That yes, everything he's doing is impressive, but he has had the occasional loose shot, and he has put himself in a position where you thought maybe he can make a big number, but he's always been able to recover. And I think there's always the possibility that happens tomorrow, and he gives two, maybe even three strokes back. And suddenly, you start looking at the leaderboard, Matt Fitzpatrick or Hao Tung Lee or even Rory McIlroy, who's going to be in the second to last group, if I've done my math correctly, can all go out and do something special. The forecast for tomorrow looks about as good as it does today. I don't know what the degree of confidence is in that forecast here in Northern Ireland, but I would say if you're a chaser, that's probably your best case scenario.
Yeah, I think that was important to note because we've sort of been anticipating all week long that Sunday was going to be the wettest day here at Royal Portrush. It turns out that's not going to be the case at all. Instead, it's going to be dry. It's going to be about 68 degrees. Even the wind's going to be 10 to 15 miles an hour. Not that I don't think that's not that prohibitive to scoring, much like it wasn't on Saturday. To me, this round by Scottie Scheffler, the bogey for 67 they shot here at Royal Portrush, felt like it was straight out of the Tiger Woods playbook. And that it was undramatic. He had a couple saves for par, but otherwise was really not in trouble all that much. It didn't seem like he was doing a whole lot. Then all of a sudden he eagles, makes an eagle on 7. And then he picks another one up on 8. And then he just sort of plods his way around the golf course. Picks up another one for the third day in a row, incredibly, on 16. A hole that is nicknamed Calamity Corner. Instead, Scottie Scheffler has birdied all 3 days. And so he just sort of pieces it together. Then you look on the leaderboard and it's a four-shot lead. Right before Scottie Scheffler met with reporters on Saturday night, Matt Fitzpatrick came in there. And he was just sort of blown away, not in the difference in Scottie Scheffler's ball striking, because he's been a great ball striker ever since he was a junior golfer. It's the difference in his putting. And he was quick to remind, hey, you guys in the media, you were lambasting this guy about a year and a half ago, saying how he couldn't putt.
We did it
as reporters. Instead, a year and a half later, Matt Fitzpatrick said, this guy doesn't miss anything. Every single important putt that Scottie Scheffler looked at on Saturday, he made. Now, that's an exaggeration. That's not true. We have the statistics to prove it, but Scottie Scheffler is putting incredibly well this week, coupled with the ball control and the typically sublime ball striking that we see from Scottie Scheffler. It's going to take just a very rare off day ball striking wise. It's going to take probably a little bit of flukishness in terms of finding a gorse bush, taking an unplayable, a lost yeah. ball, an out of bounds ball, whatever the case may be. And it's going to take just a Herculean effort. From some of the pursuers, whether it's Hao Tung Lee, Matt Fitzpatrick, Roy McIlroy, we get to him in a moment. It feels over, and I think history suggests that it is. Scottie Scheffler with a 54-hole lead. He has converted his last 9. He didn't want to necessarily play ball. He did not want to necessarily illuminate why that's the case. But Scottie Scheffler, as a closer, is damn near impossible to beat.
I warned you. Todd Lewis had tried that same tact in the interview he did for Live From, and he wasn't playing along. He doesn't want to try to think about why he's good 9 for 9 when it comes to 54-hole leads. I will go harken back to the day when Tiger Woods was on a similar run when it came to 54-hole leads in major championships. He was unstoppable. It was over during that time frame for Tiger Woods. And I remember talking with his then swing coach Hank Haney about it, and he boiled it down to the simplest terms. If Tiger was leading through 54 holes, it meant he was playing pretty good golf at that time. And Tiger Woods didn't have a tendency of suddenly turning a corner and not being able to find the center of the club face. Scotty, I don't like to compare anyone to Tiger. I certainly don't like comparing Scotty to Tiger because they're clearly two different players, two different people. Same thing though. If he's finding the center of the club face, he's probably going to continue to find the center of the club face. And you're right. It's the work he's done with Phil Kenyon is paying off. It seems like every single round out here. He didn't particularly putt well last week at the Scottish Open. So the fact he showed up here and it was as simple as just needed to get my alignment right. And it's always simple when it comes to Scotty, but that's key.
Rory used the word inevitable to describe Scottie Scheffler. I think obviously because of his iron play, he just continually puts himself in the best position to score. And even though he is making mistakes throughout the course of the round, he at least gives the semblance that he's not, that even if he does miss a green or even if he does miss a putt, there's never any like dire nature to it. Like he's always able to recover and there's not a whole lot of stress. That is very much what Tiger Woods did in his prime. And so I didn't necessarily ask Scotty that on Saturday. I asked him, you know, why do you think you've been such a great closer? I don't think he was going to go into detail of like, well, you know, I do this before the round to get myself in the best headspace. And, you know, I sort of have to weather the storm over the first 6 or 7 holes. I know people are going to make a charge at me and I just need to steady myself. And when it comes down the back nine, if I've got a lead, like I'm just playing to the fat of the green. I didn't necessarily expect him to go into the strategy, but it has become sort of glaringly obvious about what his strategy is when it goes to these final rounds, much as it was Tiger. You don't put yourself on the short side of the greens. You hole all the important putts that you need to from 4 to 8 feet. Momentum is obviously key. And I think that is going to certainly be the key on Sunday. If you do have favorable conditions, if you do have scoring conditions, there are going to be scores, particularly on the easier front nine. It's going to be raucous. It's going to be loud. Scottie Scheffler's beginning to his fourth round is going to be incredibly key for him to keep that momentum.
The crowd will be fun to watch because I went out and walked with Rory a couple of holes today. I just wanted to feel, hear, see what it looked like for him to be in the middle of that, to have all of Northern Ireland sort of behind you and screaming for you. And there have been times in my career when I feel like you could physically feel the difference in a cheer. Normally it's at a Ryder Cup. Sometimes it's at the Masters. I've never felt something like that though. When he held the birdie putt on 6, I believe today, I mean, you could feel it across the entire golf course. When he holds the eagle putt late in the round, you could feel it across the entire golf course. And he's playing just one group ahead of Scottie Scheffler. He will feel that. I just don't know if it will have any impact because Scottie seems so walled off to anything that isn't the process. I think he leaned into that a couple times in his post-round interview today. Look, I'm going to depend on the process, and I'm going to try to execute. And it sounds simple, and it sounds cliched, but that's Scottie.
I mean, if Rory goes out and plays a really fast, upbeat first 7 holes, I would say.
Kind of what he did today.
Where you have 2 par 5s, you have a drivable par 4. If you put the ball in the fairway on 1, that could potentially become a birdie hole as well. If he starts 3-4 under par, whipping this crowd into a frenzy, I think that's the only chance that these pursuers have, because Scotty is going to hear the noise, particularly if it's a player like Rory, that in theory could put more pressure. Now, Scotty, thinking ahead, can be like, okay, the scores are obviously out there. I can do that too. But if all of a sudden these guys cut the deficit from 4 shots into 3, 2, and 1, I think it just creates a little bit more doubt. Think about what happened at the PGA Championship. Scotty Scheffler, a little bit stumble out of the gate. John Rahm was able to catch him as he made the turn. That's the only hope for these guys. Exploit the easy conditions, a really hot start, and hope that the pressure can rattle him just a little bit as it did at Quail Hollow.
Well, and to be fair on that front, I would say the best and only comp I can really come up with in my mind is the Ryder Cup, where specifically the Ryder Cup in Rome, where you had a vocal crowd that was clearly not in your favor, and you could hear it across the golf course. And I don't want to say it shook Scotty Scheffler, but if you were on the American team on that Sunday, you certainly knew exactly what was going on around the golf course. You started feeling it. That would be the best comparison I could give you. And I don't think Scotty has been at his best in Ryder Cup. Certainly, you go back to Rome. He didn't feel like he was at his best there. So, yes, I see where you're coming from on that front. But I just think you are what your record says you are. And right now, 9-for-9. That's what his record says he is. And look, it is a stacked leaderboard behind him. There's tons of resumes and tons of reasons why you could pick, certainly Rory McIlroy being at the front of the list, that, yeah, of course there's someone who could run him down. But we've just never seen. I mean, if he goes out tomorrow and shoots 75, I would be legitimately surprised.
Oh, it'd be one of the most stunning results of the entire year. I did think, though, Rex, if Rory McIlroy could somehow get his way into the final group, and that was going to require a lot. Yeah. That was going to require a 63. It was going to require some help from Haotong Lung. He was going to require some help from Matt Fitzpatrick. I do think that could have made a tangible difference. Whereas I don't think Haotong Lee is certainly going to have that effect on Scottie Scheffler. Matt Fitzpatrick, as he just proved in the third round here, Scotty dusting him by 4 shots. I don't think that would have made a difference. But having a hometown kid with 50,000 fans clearly, decisively, and partisanly behind him, I think could have potentially created, first of all, just absolute scenes, the likes of which we have not seen all season long. But I think that could potentially, with the momentum, with the pressure, created a different bit of an atmosphere. Now that they're separated by a group, he's obviously going to be aware of what Rory McIlroy is doing, but I don't think it has quite the same competitive tension if they were paired together.
And I think I wanted to walk out and walk that front nine with Rory, because I had a friend call me from the United States who was watching Rory warm up. And the take there was he just didn't look at ease. He looked a little uncomfortable. It looked like
Rory didn't?
Yes. And so I wanted to go out there and see. And I think, and this goes to what he said earlier in the week, he has chosen to embrace all of this. And you see it every step of the way on the golf course. If you scream his name, and a lot of people are screaming his name, he acknowledges you. He's having fun with it. He decided after what happened in 2019 that, no, I'm not going to stick my head in the ground and pretend like this isn't important to me. I think that's a huge part of this, where he is probably more laser focused, locked in here than I would argue maybe even going into the Masters.
That's an interesting observation by your friend, because I would think the exact opposite, actually, that I've seen Rory embracing this in ways that I was sort of skeptical or hesitant heading in here. It certainly pales in comparison to what happened in 2019, when we looked skittish. He looked like a little bit of a deer in the headlights, overwhelmed by the experience. Like Rory's slapping hands with the fans. I was standing out there on 17. There was a bit of a wait. It's a short drivable par four with that particular wind, and there was a long wait as Rory was waiting to tee off, and he's standing there, and the crowd starts to chant his name, and he's nodding along, he's looking, he's smiling. Fans broke out in song, left about, I don't know, maybe 100 yards away. A group of 100, 200 fans were calling out to him. He waved to them. That got him going as well. He's embracing this in ways that I didn't necessarily know that he was going to. And I certainly wonder how much the Masters and going through that cauldron sort of fortified him for this experience. Had he not gone through that, what he said was the most difficult round of golf that he's ever played, does this feel like a bonus? Does this feel like a celebration? I think that's something we'll certainly be exploring for the Sunday recap pod.
It probably feels like a bonus. However, I would go back to the conversation I believe we had on Wednesday. His opportunities to win an Open on this particular golf course, we know what it means to him. He's only going to probably have one. I can't imagine he's going to get two more turns at this. And this would mean the world to him. And I will say, when you look at what he's been able to accomplish, yes, certainly the Masters should have taken all of the weight off his shoulders. But this is a different level. This means something else to him, because he's probably only going to get one more turn at this. And I will say, he made a bit of history today by hitting two balls with one swing. I don't think I'd ever seen that before.
If you did not see the replay, which I don't know how you didn't, because it's gone viral at this point, slamming down as he did right of the fairway on 12 into the turf, hit what he thought was actually going to be a flyer. Instead, does this like this weird spinny sort of calibration in the air, looks down, all of a sudden the ball pops out. He did not think that it necessarily affected the strike. He basically just shrugged it off as that was really weird and really strange. He
dug into the turf. There was another ball that had been buried sort of in the way he pointed out, like this would probably only happen in links golf, because if you get off the fairway, the way the rough can be matted down, you really don't know what's under there. So you're not hitting into anything that you're familiar with. I think as he made contact with the first ball and it lurched, there was another one in the turf that he was able to jump up in the air. Quite talented
quite talented, could have saved par, ended up hitting just a so-so pitch. That was the only bogey, the only drop shot that he had in his entire third round, followed up the very next hole with an eagle. You mentioned sort of the opportunity that exists. I think at this point, he could be excited six shots behind. Now, yes, he has an opportunity. I think the tension could certainly rise, right? If all of a sudden he gets two shots back, I think that's when potentially the self-imposed pressure kicks in. Then I think the dynamics are a little bit different as well.
Well, and I will go back to Xander Schauffele, who had a really good round. He's in eighth place right now at seven under par. He kind of owned to the idea that he said his line was, I have to quote unquote blackout. And he goes, look, there's a couple of different definitions of blackout. Certainly you go in the Harbor Bar, which is
bunk. Are you blackout today?
Sure. Yeah. You go into the Harbor Bar and you can certainly kind of blackout on that situation. However, he was referring more towards exactly what you do on the golf course when you get in that zone state. And we asked Xander, like, well, explain to me what's that like. And he thought about it for a minute and he goes, watch Scottie Scheffler play golf. That's blackout. And that's kind of concerning because you're trying to get to his zone and he's already there.
Blackout could be a bogey for 68, a blackout for the chasers here at the 153rd Open likely means blackout in terms of a 62, 63, or 64. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with the Rexon Lab. You guys know the drill, nbcsports.com/golf, aka golfchannel.com, for all latest news, notes, and updates. Rexon, I'll be back on Sunday night for a full 52-minute made-for-TV edition, recapping the 153rd Open Championship, putting a bow on the entire major championship season and everything that went on this week at Fort Rush. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. Enjoy the final round of the Open Championship.